إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، أرحب بكم جميعا أيها الفضلاء، وأشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى على ما من به علينا من هذا اللقاء الطيب بإخوة لنا جمعتنا بهم أخوة الإيمان. I welcome all of you once again, and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us together once again in the like of these gatherings with our brothers whom we love for the sake of Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gathered us upon the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life, to gather us with him in Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. We continue reading this selected ahadith from Riyad al-Salihin and the explanation of our noble Shaykh al-Allama Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And as I mentioned yesterday or the day before that, I chose to read to you from this book because this book, almost every Muslim household have this book, alhamdulillah. I mean Riyad al-Salihin. As for the explanation of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, perhaps that many of us have this book as well, so that we can go back, inshallah, refer to this, because sometimes we may not get everything from a hadith when we read it just once. And that's why the ulama, they advise from them, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he always to say for the i'ada ifada, there is always a benefit when you do something the second time, the third time. You read a book the first time, mashallah, that's an excellent thing. But that same book, you read it now for the second time, subhanAllah, it's a lot of benefits. And then if you read it the third time, you will gain even more benefits. Same book, not another book. وكذلك كان يقول الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله التكرار شغل الشطار. Those who are really smart and they want to get benefits, they repeat the information more than once. Likewise, you want to memorize an ayah hadith, you repeat it many times. So I hope that those amongst us who have this book, to go back to it, alhamdulillah, and review these chapters whenever you have time for, because we know there is so many other things that we have to check, there is so many things to learn, but step by step, alhamdulillah, as we learned in the other hadith, that the knowledge comes step by step. نعم. الحديث الذي معنا الآن عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هلك المتنطعون، قالها ثلاثا، رواه مسلم. Before that, we remind you of the importance of the topic of this dawra, which is al-i'tidal wal-wasatiyya fi al-umuri kulliha. As our noble Shaykh, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah, Shaykh Muhammad Ghalib, who we have a telelink with him today, he's one of the main students of Shaykh Ubaid, and he's recommended by Shaykh Ubaid Hafidhahullah to give classes. And by the way, he just got his PhD, alhamdulillah, 3-4 days ago. So Allah an yaj'alaha lahu awna ala ta'a. May Allah make that PhD for him. Because you know, as a means to increase him in knowledge. Because you know, when a person gets PhD, especially a student of knowledge, they do a lot of work, alhamdulillah, they benefit a lot. They benefit themselves a lot. So he mentioned the statements of the ulama that when we talk about wasatiyyah, هي الإسلام الصحيح. When you talk about اعتدال في الدين وسطية, which is usually translated as moderation, this is being upon the correct Islam. Being upon that which the Prophet ﷺ left for us. That which the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ adhere to. And this is in all fields of the religion. In the creed, which is the most important one. We have to have اعتدال in the matters of i'tiqad. Once again, the question, how we know that we have this i'tidal, this wasatiyah, how we're being moderate in this subject matter, which is very important, if we do it the way of the sunnah. If we believe the same way that the companions, they believed. And how we achieve that? Through knowledge. By taking the knowledge from its proper sources. From the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, who they teach the creed of a salaf. And there is many books, alhamdulillah. There is many books, alhamdulillah, that teach us the creed of a salaf, of our noble scholars. Likewise in ibadat, actions of worship, whether it be tahara, tayammum, mash, al-khufayn, salat, zakat, even ghusl, what break the wudu, what not, the salat, the zakat, the hajj, fasting, umrah, and the like. We have to have this i'tidal, which is once again doing it the right way. And there is no other way except the way of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise in the akhlaq, we adorn ourselves with the good manners of Islam, whether in the house of Allah, in our homes, in the market, at work, when we are guests. How are we going to be moderate in the house of Allah, in our homes, in any place we may be, learning how the Prophet ﷺ did it, because he spent the time in the masjid. We learn his sunnah and his hadith and his guidance in his house, in the market, amongst others. And we take our times, we learn things that are difficult for us, we write it down, as our noble scholar, they say. Every one of us should have a little notebook with him. That's right. You're reading a book, write a safha, kada kada, from the book such and such. I didn't understand. Ask. Alhamdulillah, in your masjid, if the imam, alhamdulillah, you ask him, ya akhi, is this mas'ala? Do you know anything about it? If he knows, he will tell you, na'am, mashallah, me too, when I was reading this book, mashallah, I did the same thing. I didn't understand this matter. And you'll be amazed. And I ask one of the mashayikh, and that's how he explained it to me. That's it. But if he don't know, he's like, mashallah, jazakallah khair, barakallahu fi. And you give the imam a homework. Now he got to call one of the mashayikh. Assalamu alaikum, shaykh. Alhamdulillah, one of the students in our masjid, mashallah, he came to me with this question. Wallahi, the mashayikh, they get very happy with this. When somebody called them and said, ya shaykh, we're reading this book, but we couldn't understand this. Gets them very happy, alhamdulillah, because they know that some people are studying from trustworthy sources such as the book of our noble scholars, and also they studying with contemplation, with reflection. They want to understand. That's why they're asking that question. And also you can benefit somebody else with that. Somebody else in the same community may be reading the same book. And then he may come to you and say, Akhi, subhanAllah, this statement, this page. And you smile and say, MashaAllah. That happened to somebody. But here is the answer, alhamdulillah, from Shaykh Rabir. Here is the answer from Shaykh Ubaid. Here is the answer in one of the statements of Shaykh Al-Albani, who bin Baz al-Uthaymeen al-Fawzan, and the like from the statements of our noble scholars. And this is a beautiful thing to do. Even when you read in that, and we have problems understanding something, we share it with others. Ya akhi, mashallah, I was reading, alhamdulillah, but I couldn't understand this. And then the shaykh, naam, we give like gifts to the people. We don't wait until somebody come and ask about that page. No, we share knowledge. Something we learn, we share. Ta'ala ya akhi, jazakallah khair. while you're driving, I was reading this book. MashaAllah, this is beautiful benefit. Likewise, we highlight benefits too. The ulama, they compile books, just some of them, just from benefit that they read. They read a book, there's something that really appeared to them at that moment, they write it to the side. And it helps us a lot, especially for those who are involved in da'wah, whether it be given a khutbah class. Wallahi, you have these benefits, sometimes you may need them. Sometimes you find yourself wants to address an issue, and of course, it'd be easy and be handy, alhamdulillah, if you have the likes of these statements and these quotes of the noble scholars. Because we're going to stay upon good as long as we connect ourselves and connect the communities to our noble scholars. To our noble scholars. We're going to stay upon good. And the problem is that, as Shaykh Abd al-Bukhari mentioned once, because that is the one that came on my mind, but this is a statement from so many ulama, that sometimes you find the students of knowledge thinks like, that's it, he cannot take it to the ulama. And some of them, they say, he doesn't have to take from such Shaykh and Shaykh. And they make this mistake, wal-iyadu billah, they think that they can do it on their own. Well, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humble us and to give us modesty and to allow us to continue to benefit from our noble scholars. Naam. فعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هلك المتنطعون قالها ثلاثا. Reported on the authority of ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه, who reported that the messenger of Allah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, المتنطعون are destroyed. Destroyed those who are mutanatti'un. He said that three times, recorded by Imam Muslim. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he mentioned, he explained who are al-mutanatti'un, who are destroyed in this hadith. قال المتعمقون المتشددون في غير مواضع التشديد. They are those who go to extreme and put hardship on themselves or on others in places that the hardship is not the right thing. But the explanation of Shaykh Nu'uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, the mu'allif, which is Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he brought this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, halak al-mutanatti'un, halak al-mutanatti'un, halak al-mutanatti'un. Keep in mind that we're talking about the li'tidal. And no doubt, tanattu' has nothing to do with i'tidal. Well, now we're talking about being moderate, having moderation. But also keep in mind, being moderate doesn't mean to be negligent. No, because moderation is between the two extremes. Harshness, extravagance, excessiveness, and negligence. But we have to be on the path of the sunnah. Here Shaykh Nu'uthaymeen, he says, هَلَكُوا هَلَكَ أَيْ تَلِفُوا وَخَسِرُوا. What do you mean here between هَلَكَ, which is usually it explains as destroyed, but the Shaykh Nu'uthaymeen, he gives us the benefit, he says that they are lost. They are lost, those who use تَنَطُّع upon this trade, which is تَنَطُّع, they are lost. وَهُمُ الْمُتَشَدِّدُونَ فِي أُمُورِهِمْ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ. They are those who go to extreme and put hardship on them in both matters of the religion and matters of the dunya too. Some people, they put so much hardship on them even in the matters of the dunya, not just in the religion. قَلْ وَنْظُرْ Shaykh Ratim, he's going to give some examples. قَلْ أَنْظُرْ إِلَى قِسَّةْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ حِينَ حَقَّتَلُوا قَتِيلًا فَالدَّارَأُوا فِيهِ وَتَنَازَعُوا حَتَّى كَعَادَتْ الْفِتْنَةَ أَنْ تَسُودَ بَيْنَهُمْ. He gave an example from the Quran, the story of Bani Israel in Surah Al-Baqarah. When they killed a person, and they differ among themselves, until a great trial and a fitna was about to start between them. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَنْ تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. But a part of the solution, that Musa عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, he said to them, Allah's command to you that you slaughter a cow. شوف تنطع these people instead to just as Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned instead of them get a cow and kill it, now they ask so many questions. تنطع. They ask so many questions. ما هي ما لونها, which one, what color, and even with all of those answers given to them, فذبحوها وما كادوا يفعلون. Then after all that, they still did it. Barely they did it. وما كادوا يفعلون. They almost didn't do it. قال الشيخ العثيمين لو أنهم استسلموا وسلموا لأمر الله وذبحوا أي بقرة كانت لحصل مقصودهم لكنهم تعنتوا فهلكوا. He says if they submit to the command of Allah, they will be safe from all that which happened to them. If they submitted to the command of Allah in the first place and they apply it, that would have been better for them. Another example the Shaykh mentioned. من التشدد والتشديد في العبادة. أن يشدد الإنسان على نفسه في الصلاة أو في الصوم أو في غير ذلك مما يسره الله عليه. Likewise, another example, he said, you find certain people, Allah make it easy for them in the matters of the salat and fasting. And the Shaykh is talking here about elderly people and sick people. He says the elderly and the sick people, this elderly who cannot fast, they are so old that they cannot fast except with extreme hardship, these people, they are exempt from fasting. Or in the salat, if they cannot stand, they sit. If they cannot sit, they lay down. But some people, they put a hardship on themselves, especially in fasting. And I know examples in my family. I know this lady, she's my mother actually, because she nurtured me. I was breastfed by her, so she became my mother, even though she was my uncle's wife. But we grew up together in the same area, same place. When we were little, we don't even know who's the mother of who. When we were little, because the house would have 4 or 5 houses, my uncle's, we didn't even know which house is my house. We just go here, sometimes we sleep here, sometimes my mother want to look for us. She has to go through so many places. We didn't know. Until we grow up and we start really, we know, that's my mother? Okay. That's my cousin? But anyway, she's one of them. SubhanAllah, she's old. She's sick, but she don't want to break the fast. Why? She said, no, fasting, I break the fast. That's not what I'm going to say to Allah. I said, no, mother. Allah is the one who tell you not to fast. And then we explained, alhamdulillah, finally she understood. And Allah guided her, alhamdulillah. And finally this past year she didn't fast. You know, but tanattu'. The Shaykh said sometimes people, they think themselves they're doing something good. But putting a hardship on yourself, this is not what Allah meant by this deen. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. Allah said it in the Quran. Allah did not put in this religion any hardship on you. So, for those of us, for example, is sick, even though you're still young, you're a strong brother, but if you cannot stand up, sit, ya akhi. Don't say what the people are going to think about me. No, think about your action. How you going to, what's the matter, alhamdulillah, to us? I should do the best job. My action has to be the best. Not what the people think of me. Now, sometimes people are different. Somebody may say, why he's sitting, he's a strong brother. And we shouldn't be like that. When we see one of us actually sitting on a chair or sitting on the floor, the first thing should come to anyone's mind, SubhanAllah, he must have a condition. Make dua for him in sujood. After the salat finish, mashallah, the dhikr, when he's leaving, say, Akhi, mashallah, shafakallah, are you sick? What happened? Ayna'am. That's the etiquette we should display with one another. وكذلك قال مما يفعل بعض الطلبة المجتهدين. Likewise, as some people, they alhamdulillah, they have the zeal, they want to study. And the Shaykh mentioned the bab of Tawheed, for example. they want to study, but then because they don't have the etiquettes of the Salaf, the etiquettes of the Sahaba, you find themselves falling into this mistake, going to extreme, this tanattu. And therefore the Shaykh said this hadith apply on them. For example, in the bab of as-sifat, you will find them searching, asking questions about the sifat that the Salaf never asked about. They start, mashallah, studying the sifat of Allah. They want to know these attributes. They know the importance of learning the attributes of Allah and His names. But he said, here is the problem. The problem is some people, some students, they began to ask some questions that none of the Salaf from the Sahaba or the Tabi'een or the A'imma of the guidance after them asked. He said, this is tanattu, going to extreme, no doubt. فَلْيَسَعُهُ مَا وَسِعَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فَهُمْ أَمْسَكُوا عَنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ. So the person, what the Sahaba were upon, should be enough for him. As the Imam Al-Awza'i رحمه الله تعالى, he says, اسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى السُنَّةِ. You have to struggle to be upon the Sunnah. It doesn't come easy like that. سَوَارِفْ كَثِيرًا. The things that gonna turn you away, these are many. You have to have some mujahada, some struggle. Patience. اسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى السُنَّةِ وَقِفْ حَيْثُ وَقَفَ الْقَوْمِ. And stop where the people stop, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. If they stop at the matter, we stop. We don't go forward if they stop. وَقُلْ بِمَا قَالُوا. Say what they say. So the Shaykh, he said, you find, for example, asking these questions when they get to the Hadith. إِنَّ قُلُوبَ بَنِي آدَمْ كُلَّهَا بَيْنَ أَصْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ كَقَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ يَصْرِفُ حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. This hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the hearts of the children of Adam, all of them, they are between two fingers from the fingers of Ar-Rahman. He turns them as he will, the like of one heart. Now he said, you find certain people, this mutanatta, he be asked about how many are these fingers, asking questions. What and now these fingers, subhanAllah, how they look and the like, these questions. But rather Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and this is the Al-I'tidal, this is the Wasatiyah, this is the moderation, that they believe if a hadith is sound, and therefore the Prophet ﷺ affirmed for his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an attribute or more than that, they believe in it. But they do not ask how is the hand, how is the eye and the light. Likewise, he mentioned another hadith. يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ حِينَ يَبْقَى الثُّلُثُ الْآخِرِ. The hadith in Sahih Muslim as well, and Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah descends to the lowest level of the heavens every night when there is the last third of the night. We believe in this hadith. And that's it. And we stop where the Sahaba stop. He said, you find this mutanatta', ask, how Allah descend? Somebody else say, why the last third of the night? Why not in the beginning of the night? Another person, he says, some people, they says, well, which doesn't make sense, because the last third of the night here is not the last third night in China. In China, maybe the morning, and they be doing all these questions from tanattu', which is a bad thing. We believe that Allah descend, because that's what the hadith said. Allah descends. We don't deny this attribute, but we don't ask how. We don't put wrong way when it's night in here, it's morning in Saudi. And when it's morning in Saudi, it's 9 p.m. in Korea. No. This question should not come to... And why we're learning this? Also for us to learn how to deal with these matters. Because you may come in contact with someone who may be asking these questions. You know, it's not just us. Alhamdulillah, Allah guide us to the way of the Salaf. Alhamdulillah, we've been studying this aqeedah, alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon it. But we can benefit others too. You never know that somebody come to you and ask you this question. Or you may be, subhanAllah, sometimes you may be sitting in a bus, in an airport. You may be waiting in the halal store, meat store, trying to get your meat for your family. And you never know, two Muslims, you never see before they're talking about this. And then you kindly, nicely, you correct them, tell them, look, the hadith affirmed this. And we affirm for Allah what he affirmed for himself in his book or in the sunnah of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we don't ask how or when. We don't ask these questions. Why? Because the best of this ummah, the sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhim, they didn't ask these questions. قال هذه المسائل لم يكلف بها الإنسان. We were not commanded by Allah nor by His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم to deal with these matters. As they mentioned, the Imam الشافعي رحمه الله once, he heard a man dealing with matters like this, even beyond that, thinking about the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, والعياذ بالله. And he brought him and he asked him simple questions in wudu. The man couldn't answer. And he said, yes, subhanallah. Something that you are commanded to know. It's an obligation upon you to know how you make wudu, this marriage in wudu. And you don't know, and you leave it for something that you are not commanded to do. Ay na'am. كذلك في الصلاة يا أخوان, this is very important as well. Moderation. And once again, when you say moderation, is doing it the right way. Just the right way. For example, تسوية الصفوف. Straightening the rows in the salat. That's sunnah ثابتة. Nobody can say, you guys, what are you doing? Prophet ﷺ used to straighten the rows, we have narrations. But we have to do it in moderation. Between the two extremes. Not those who they leave a gap that two people get in between. And they say, look, akhi Allah, ghafur rahim, the deen is easy. Yeah, the deen is easy, but not like they understood. The deen is easy doesn't mean don't act upon it. No, we act upon it, we strain the rules, but in a way that is moderate. We don't go to extreme, people stepping on people's feet, leaning on people, harming them. As Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidahullah, he said, some people, they annoy others in the salat. All what matters to them is to step on the people. But mashallah, you were commanded to stand next to each other in a way that is prescribed in the sunnah. And we are not commanded to step on somebody or to check that his foot's still there. No. So much so that some people, he's in the salat. And when they get up from sujood, he's shaking the bed like this. And tell the people to move up. Laysa min as-sunnah, ikhwan. Moderation. Naam, you gotta teach the people. And if somebody, for example, is saying next to someone, and we asked this question before, someone you wants to put foot to foot and they put it away from you. If they put it a little bit, that means maybe they don't know the sunnah, or maybe a person has an illness or something. It could be. But after the salat, nicely, kindly talk to that person. Ya akhi, mashallah, hasal kada kada. Allahu a'lam. Is it something your foot? No, my foot is okay. Oh, so why? In our madhab, we don't do that. Tell them your madhab. Ya akhi, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has nothing to do with the madhab. And beside the point, we take from the madhab, if it's the haqq, okay, if the madhab is upon the haqq, any statement of the madhab al-Hanafi, or madhab of Imam al-Shafi'i, or Maliki, and this is the statement of our noble scholars, most recently that I heard him say is, our noble Shaykh, Dr. Sulaiman, al-Ruhayli, hafidhahullah, Shaykh Sulaiman, al-Ruhayli, he says, na'am, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they're the only one that benefit from all of the madahib. But as long as what they say agreed with the haqq. If it agrees with the haqq, doesn't matter. Even he said, if the students of knowledge in matters of fiqh choose to study the books of al-Shafi'iyyah, but if the haqq in Malikiyyah, then he take it. He don't say, look, I'm Shafi'i, I'm studying the Shafi'i. No, they take the haqq. They use this madahib to make it easy for them, as the ulama they mentioned. But they don't have ta'assub. If somebody bring him the haqq, like, no, what madhab is that? No. And I shared with you the story, and I share it again for the benefit, that ta'assub of this madahib, people have this tanattu, that the Shaykh, he mentioned it himself, that a young man got married, and the imam of that masjid, he's doing the nikah. And when they did the nikah, he said to the young man, okay, say now, قَبِلْتُ أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجَ فُلَانَ عَلَى مَذْهَبِ الْإِمَامَ بِحَنِيفَ. Say now, I agreed to marry such and such, meaning the girl, upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. Because that Imam was Hanafi, Mutaassib. The young man, he says, قَبِلْتُ أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجَ فُلَانَ. I accept to marry so-and-so. He didn't say upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. The Imam says, Akhi, you gotta say upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. The young man says, no, I don't have to. I don't have to say that. The man says, okay, so your marriage is void, man. It's not sahih. That Imam says, your marriage is not sahih. Not sound, man. But this man, Allah gave him hikmah, this young man. He said to that Imam, can I ask you a question? He says, yes. He said to him, what made Abu Hanifa's father marry Sam? You see? He said, what made Abu Hanifa's father marriage to be Sam? Because he was not on the madhab of his son. He didn't even have one yet. So that Imam, what he's going to say now? Whether he has two things to say. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. You're right, son. Subhanallah. You're right. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. No, but some people, those people Allah wants good for them. Other people, they're so arrogant. He was like, get out of here, man. Don't even come here. They want to chase them from the house of Allah now. He will accept the haqq, barakallahu fikum. So this is very important. Sheikh Sulaiman, he says, Ahlul Sunnah, they are the only one. That accept the haqq, doesn't matter what madhab it is. As long as it is the truth, it is the haqq. Why? Once again, because Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are the best. Whom Ahlul Wasat. Because they adhere to the Haqq. The Dalil. If this is the Haqq, doesn't matter who you are, what color, what country you come from. As long as you present the Haqq, we're taking it because it is the Haqq. It's not because where you come from. So he says, Alhamdulillah, the one who gives him Allah tawfiq, in these matters of aqidah and all matters. When an ayah or a hadith comes, especially in the attributes of Allah, they believe in it and they say, Sami'na wa ata'na wa saddaqna wa amanna. They say, we hear, we obey, we accept it to be the truth and we believe in it. They don't sit there and ask questions that the Salaf didn't ask. I want to share with you a story, subhanAllah. It's amazing sometimes how tanattu gets someone in trouble. One of the students in Medina, the brother, they narrate this to me, as relate to lining up in a row, in a salat. They say, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful thing to be admitted to the Jamia Islamiyah. That's a good thing. But also, people should ask Allah for tawfiq, so that during those stay, to get much benefit. To get much benefit. And to ask Allah for tawadu, for humbleness. Because if it's not, subhanAllah, shaitan is vicious. Some people, the more they go in jami'ah, the more they think that's it. Nobody can touch them. And they get a degree, or even they get their master's, or they apply for PhD. Oh, that's it. Can't listen to no sheikh. No, no sheikh, I don't have to listen to him. And then you find other people instead to say, Akhi, what do you mean you don't listen? That's now natija? This is the result of you studying all these years? You can't listen to this sheikh? And this sheikh was your sheikh for years? Now you find other people, because of jahl, ta'assub, they support them. He's one of us, they say. He's one of us. We're upon the haqq. Actually, it should be the other way. The more you learn, the more you humble yourself. The more you learn, the more you know, look, man, I got to act upon this. And that's the importance of seeking knowledge. We seek knowledge so we can put it to practice. We put it to practice. Anyway, you remember when students especially come from the West, whether it be America, Canada, Europe, England, Italy, Sweden, name it. Of course, being in Saudi, mashallah, the first thing of so many good things come to your mind, let me find a way to sit with the ulama. In Medina is easy because the Islamic university is in Medina. Alhamdulillah, they get to sit after school in weekends or something. They get to sit with Sheikh Abdul Muhsin and others, Sheikh Ubay, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, alhamdulillah. But then they be like longing even more. How can we get to Riyadh? Why Riyadh? To sit with the Sheikh, the Mufti, Sheikh Fawzan, Sheikh Luhaydan, and this ulama of the Salaf. Here is a group of brothers, finally. They arrange, mashallah, to go to Riyadh to sit with Sheikh Fawzan. And of course, they all want to sit in the front, and they want to, after that, to talk to the Sheikh, maybe establish some connection with the Sheikh, for whatever reason. But let's think good about our brothers. We're not going to say, let us always think good about our brothers. Maybe they want to establish a connection, mashallah, so that if they have any questions, they will ask the Shaykh. That's what the students of knowledge should do, establish connections with the ulama. And also to benefit their brothers, whether in Sweden, or in China, or in Canada, or in Brazil, or in America, whatever, maybe France, Britain. Alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. But this brother, of course, we think good about him. Maybe he didn't know much. But they went there for Maghrib, mashallah. And because the Sheikh is going to give the talk between Maghrib and Isha, his class. But when they stand up to pray, this brother we're talking about, he, an old man, an old Saudi man, you know, older man, was next to him. So this man is kind of like putting his foot next to the old man. And the man, he looked at him. They didn't even say Allahu Akbar or nothing. And they look at him with a smile, and the Sheikh moved this old man. We say Sheikh because he's an old man. He's a Sheikh, an old man. He moved his foot a little bit and put it next to the man. The man pushing it. And then, after the salat, that young man, before even saying Astaghfirullah, have problems and difficulty speaking Arabic because he's just there to learn. He's trying to talk to this old man, Saudi, who don't know no English or French or Swedish or German or Italian. Sunnah, Rijal. The man, the old man, looked at him with a smile and went and started his class. That was Sheikh Fawzan. That was Sheikh Fawzan. And they said that the brother, no, he was hiding. He was like this. Look, he wants to sit in the front and mashallah, Shaykh, alhamdulillah. After this, assalamu alaikum, Shaykh, alhamdulillah, nahnu talaba. No, he was like this. Subhanallah. And keep in mind, we learn from this, you never know who you'll be praying next, especially when you go to Medina and Mecca. You never know. Because many of us, we don't even know the mashaykh. We heard them, names, but we've never been there and sit with them. So you never know who you're going with. Wallahi, I'm telling you another story. Subhanallah. We were in Medina. We were going to the, after Isha, to the house of another sheikh, one sheikh. I'm not going to give no names. And we were in the car of one of our brothers, from here, from America. Don't ask me for his name, because I won't tell you. But the brother, he drives in a way, subhanAllah, like, you know, really in Medina. And we were just happy. We didn't even pay attention to how we drive. We just like, alhamdulillah, we're going to the Sheikh. We're talking about some other stuff, man. He was doing his things. We're doing ours. Alhamdulillah, we're going to the Sheikh, mashallah. But the thing is, another car behind us, man, he's carrying him off, and he's like, look at this guy, and he's using some language that we shouldn't use. And he's trying to, God, I'm going to show him how we drive in there, in the state, man. He carrying the man, carrying this, he's like, I got him. Now he's still behind you. guess what? And we parked in front of that house, of the Sheikh house, the car parked too. And we're like, oh, is there another student? No, wrong. That was the Sheikh himself. Now we couldn't even get out of the car. Because he knows the Sheikh. He says, oops. I said, what happened? Man, that's the Sheikh, man. I said, look, man, we're not getting off the car. Let him get first. SubhanAllah, yeah. Now, so we have to have i'tidal in driving too. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen has a talk, maybe talks, may I just heard one on driving. That you have to have i'tidal in while you drive. You don't just drive because you have skills, man. You're not on a NASCAR. Not trying to win. You're going to work, you're going to school, you're coming to masjid. Are you competing with those people on the highway? No, you're driving. You with moderation, you pay attention to the rules, to the things, to the people. And you drive. You're not competing with anyone. You use moderation. That's why Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, you have to obey to the rules. Because if you speed and you get caught and they give you a violation, that's waste of money. You're giving your money to those who don't deserve to take it. And Allah says, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Do not give the foolish your money. Now, you know, some of us brothers be... I went to the court once for that. Even if I said to you, look, man, I didn't do it, so nobody, you know, I don't know. But to me, I thought I didn't make that mistake. But when I went to, they sent me to the court, I find Muslims in there, man. Muslims trying to cut a deal. It's 350. Can you give me a deal? 275 deal. 275. That 275 can't be in the hand of an orphan, a widow, a brother who is going through some hardship, especially in a time like this. A brother who they cut his hours, and we don't wait until somebody come and beg. And we look for our brothers who. They going through some hardship. We look for the orphans who needs to be helped. We look for those sisters who are struggling. They couldn't find a job because she's on a niqab and a khimar. We look for them and we help them. And be mindful. Look, I'm going to drive speed limit because I don't want to get caught and spend $100. This $100 I'm going to give it to a family. Inshallah, they're going through some hardship. This hadith is a clear proof, also a refutation against anyone who go against the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, mainly the Sufis. Because the Sufis, it is known that they go to extreme. And they make binding upon themselves many actions of worship that Allah did not legislate for them. Nothing. They go to extreme. Putting on themselves hardship, whether in wudu. You know that some of them, the Sufis, when they use the hammam, we are commanded to wipe ourselves 3 times or wash yourself. Now these people, what they do? A brother told me, he was with them and Allah guided him to Al-Islam. After they use the bathroom, they get out, they clean and they get out of the bathroom and they put like a tissue and walk for like 100 meters. Why? To make sure there's nothing in it. Yes, astaghfirullah. Did the Prophet ﷺ do that? Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. The Sahaba didn't do it. So why they put on themselves a hardship? Innovations. Because they don't adhere to the way of the Salaf. وَهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ يَتَقَرَّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And they think that they are doing this and this is going to get him closer to Allah. وَهَذَا لَنْ يَنَالُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا التَّعَبُ وَالنَّصَرُ وَلَا يَزِيدُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا. But they get nothing but hardship. They get nothing but hardship and waste of time and sometimes wealth and money. And they get nothing but those actions that it may seem the right actions to the ignorant get them nothing but further away from Allah. وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفٍ وَكُلُّ شَرٍ فِي اتِّدَاعِ مَنْ خَلَفٍ. Because the good, all good, is following the way of the Salaf. And the evil, all evil come from following the way of the Khalaf. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. أحسن.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن شاء الله أريد نظر الحديث عن أبي جحيفة وهب بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال أخى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين سلمان وأبي الدرداء فزار سلمان أبا الدرداء فرأى أم الدرداء متبذلة فقال ما شأنك؟ قالت أخوك أبو الدرداء ليس له حاجة في الدنيا. فجاء أبو الدرداء فصنع له طعاما فقال له كل فإني صائم. قال ما أنا بآكل حتى تأكل. فأكل. فلما كان الليل ذهب أبو الدرداء يقوم فقال له نم فنام. ثم ذهب يقوم فقال له نم. فلما كان من آخر الليل قال سلمان قم الآن فصلى يا جميعا. فقال له سلمان إن لربك عليك حقا وإن لنفسك عليك حقا ولأهلك عليك حقا فأعط كل ذي حق حقه. فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكر ذلك له فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق سلمان. رواه البخاري. Now this hadith on the authority of Abu Juhayfa radiallahu anhu reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a bond of brotherhood between Salman and Abu Darda. Between Salman and Abu Darda. Salman paid a visit to Abu Darda and found Umm al-Darda, meaning the wife of Abu Darda, mutabaddila, meaning dressed in shabby clothes. And he asked her why she was in that state. She replied, your brother Abu Darda is not interested in the dunya. Not interested in this dunya. In the meantime, Abu Darda came and prepared a meal for Salman. And he said to him, eat, I am fasting. Salman said to him, I am not going to eat unless you eat. So Abu Darda ate with Salman. When it was night, and a part of the night passed, Abu Darda got up to offer the night prayer. But Salman asked him to sleep. And Abu Darda did so. After some time, Abu Darda again got up to pray. But Salman asked him to go to sleep, to return to go to sleep. Which he did. And when it was the last hours of the night, the last third of the night, Salman asked Abu Darda to get up. And both of them offered the prayer. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is going to explain what does it mean, both of them offered tahajjud. Then Salman told Abu Darda, there's a right, your Lord has a right over you. Likewise, your nafs and your family. Your body has a right too, and your family has a right. So you should give to everyone his due right. But Abu Darda, in the morning, came to the Prophet ﷺ and reported the whole story. He reported the whole story, but the Prophet ﷺ said, Salman is right. Salman is right. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he says, when the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Al-Madina, عَقَدَ عَقْدَ الْأُخُوَّةِ بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ. He have a bonds of brotherhood between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So Salman was a brother to Abu Darda. So they were as brothers. They used to inherit even from one another until the ayats of the inheritance was revealed. جاء سلمان ذات يوم ودخل على دار أخيه أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه فوجد امرأته أم الدرداء متبذلة يعني ليست عليها ثياب المرأة ذات الزوج. So once Salman came to visit his brother Abu Darda and he found that أم الدرداء she was in the clothing that meaning she's not taking care of herself. And he asked the question. She says, there's no need for her to beautify herself or to look nice because Abu Darda has no desire for this dunya. Abu Darda. وعن الأهل on the wife too. And أكل والنوم. He doesn't eat much. He doesn't sleep much at night. So when Abu Darda came and when Abu Darda came to the house, so he prepared, this is the guest, he prepared food for Salman. This is the daytime. And he said to him, eat, I am fasting. Salman said to him, no, I'm not eating until you eat. The ulama, they mentioned that from the Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahu ta'ala, when he was asked about this question, if a person is fasting, optional fast, and he was invited, or he has a guest. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahu ta'ala, among many of our noble scholars, he says, he has the choice to break his fast. If you want to break the fast, you can, inshallah, ta'ala, you can. لَأَنَّ فِيهِ تَطِيبًا لِخَاطَرِ الضَّيْفِ because this brings some good in the heart of the guest himself. Can you imagine you bring food to the guest and he's eating by himself? Some guests may not even eat. They feel like, how am I going to eat in a man's house and he's right there? And likewise, if you are invited, فيه تطيب لخاطر المسلمين. Because Islam is a beautiful religion. It brings, you know, this legislation that keeps the brotherhood together. It connects the hearts upon that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to him, eat. And that he knew from the statement of Abu Darda that Abu Darda he fasts a lot. You know, he fasts optional fasts. Likewise in the night time, Abu Darda he got up early to pray. Salman didn't get up with him and say, Jazakallah khairan, mashallah. He said to him, sleep, go back to sleep. SubhanAllah. The guest telling the host, go back to sleep. What one of us would do now? They say, I am the guest in any one of your brother's house, and you got up to sleep, you got up to pray, and I tell you, akhi, go to sleep. What do you think? What would you do with me? Please be honest. Allah al-Musta'an. You may get so many different answers. None of your business. That's one of them. Maybe the famous one. You're just guesting here. Or some of us, mashallah, we are another level. We may not even say a word, right? And we may do whatever we want to do. But we take a stance against that brother. He never came into my house. Make a decision right there. Look, we learn from the Sahaba. We follow their way. We follow the way of the Salaf. These things may happen to us, by the way. That's why we learn how to act in the right way. Abu Darda went to sleep. He went to sleep. But then, look. He woke up again. Salman said to him, go back to sleep. He went back to sleep again. Until Salman, he's the one who wake Abu Darda now. He says, look, now you get up to sleep. Lead us, we pray together. In this narration, it doesn't say that Abu Darda said, oh, now, on your terms, like some of us may say, when I got up in my house, he told me to go to sleep. Now, when you feel like None of these questions. Ukhuwa, brotherhood, ya akhi. Even if you feel sometimes that your brother is wronging you, but at that moment, take it, slow down. Whether you talk to him on good terms later on, or ask somebody else, what should I do with this? And that's what exactly Salman did, Abu Darda. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked, look, I was fasting, he says, eat. I got up to pray, go to sleep. Got up again, go to sleep. Then he woke me up and said, now we can go to sleep. We can pray. Ahsant. We can pray now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salman is right. Because Salman explained to him why he did these things. That's another very important point that we understand. If we want to do something or explain something, we explain to people why we're doing this. Between two brothers, husband and wife, father and son, mother and daughter, partners, you're traveling together in the same van. No, just make decisions. Some of us, we just make decisions and we assume that everybody is okay with it. No, we explain. Look, we want to do this because of this. We're going to do this because of this. And we do this because of that. Look at the story of the Prophet ﷺ when he was making tahajjud. You know the story. And his wife Safiya came. And then it was at night time, the Prophet ﷺ, he walked her. Couple of a companion, they were walking. And when they saw the Prophet ﷺ, they start walking faster. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, عَلَىٰ رِسْلِكُمَا إِنَّهَا Safiya. He said to them, this is Safiya. Shaitan is very vicious. And it happens. Sometimes you may see a brother in your masjid, alhamdulillah, upon the sunnah, salafiyya, Allahu Akbar, you may see him downtown Atlanta holding a woman not dressed properly. No khimar, nothing. So what Shaitan will come to any one of us and say, A'udhu billah, look at this brother, astaghfirullah. No. We ask. That could be his sister. Real wrong. She's not Muslim. Is it haram for him to walk with his sister in downtown Atlanta? Maybe he's taking her somewhere. Or whatever the case is. But we ask questions. Or those amongst us, because Shaitan doesn't give us no break, we say, Akhi, that's so and so. InshaAllah ta'ala. So Salman explained to him that your body has a right. Your wife, she has a right too. You're staying up all night praying, fasting all day. So this woman, when she gonna have time with you? She's your wife. She has time to eat with you too, to have breakfast, have lunch. That's why moderation. You fast Monday and Thursday. You fast 3 days out of a month. You fast every other day. The night you go to sleep. And then you wake up later on and pray. And the like. Here is the point the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned. He says, as his statement, صَلَّيَا جَمِيعًا ظَهِرُوا أَنَّهُمَا صَلَّيَا جَمَاعًا. He says, and then they pray both together. Tahajjud, Salat al-Layl. He says, what the apparent meaning of this statement is that they pray together in congregation. Or, it could be understood also that they pray together in the same time. They pray together, meaning in the same time, but everyone is praying by himself. It could mean this or mean that. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned, he says, this mas'ala, which is, what is the hukum of praying the tahajjud, for example, in congregation? Can a man get up, his wife, children, and they pray tahajjud together or not? Or everyone should pray by themselves? This is a benefit. He says, praying in a congregation, salat al-layl, is permissible. Is permissible. But it should not be done always like that. It shouldn't become a habit. But sometimes, yes, if it's done ahyanan, ahyanan means sometimes. It's okay. And he mentioned the proof. فَقَدْ صَلَّى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَاتَ اللَّيْلِ جَمَاعَ مَعَ ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. Because the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he prayed the صَلَاتَ اللَّيْلِ, the night prayer, جَمَاعَ with ابْنُ عَبَّاسِ and with حُذَيْفَ ابْنُ الْيَمَانِ and with عَبْدُ ابْنِ مَسْعُودِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. He says, so therefore the ulama, they take from this, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, this is the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen's statement, the ulama, they take from this that, yes, Salat al-Tahajjud can be done in congregation sometimes. Sometimes. Yes, can be done. And it's beautiful when the man wake up, like his kids, children, and they all pray together. May Allah help us to do that. Ameen. قال ففي هذا الحديث أن الإنسان لا ينبغي له أن يكلف نفسه بالصيام والقيام وإنما يصلي ويقوم على وجه يحصل به الخير ويزول به التعب والشق والمشقة والعناء. He says we benefit from this hadith that is a proof that a person should not put in themselves a hardship. And look, in fasting and salat, this is not just on something else. This is in one of the best actions of worship. Salat and fasting. Still, it has to be done in moderation. Rather, the Shaykh says, the person, yes, he pray, but in moderation. In a way that it doesn't become difficult for the person. Remember, in the previous class, we read the hadith, and Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, because if a person follow this path and put a hardship on himself, later on they will give up. And they get bored. He says some people, they may even hate their actions of worship. They may even hate it. Why? Because of the hardship they went through? Because they do it their way. So it's very important for us, Ikhwan, to remember these things, to try to apply them to the best of our abilities. And of course we ask Allah, tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek knowledge. And we pay attention when the ulama, when we read their books, in our masajid, masajid Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who follow the way of the Salaf. When there is a class, the Imam is given a class, reading from the books of Ahlul Ilm, whether it be Talatat al-Usul, Sharh al-Sunnah Imam Barbahari, Sharh Aqidat al-Salaf al-Sabuni, Shaykh Rabi', whether it be Kitab al-Tawheed, or Al-Arba'in al-Nawawiyya, or Riyad al-Salihin, or Sifat Salat al-Nabi, Arabic classes, tafsir. It's very important for us to have this azima, as-sadiqa, a true and genuine determination. We always remind ourselves why I'm here. Because we could be somewhere else. Why we're here in this class? Why I'm coming every between Maghrib and Isha, Monday fiqh, Tuesday aqidah, Wednesday Arabic, Thursday seerah, Saturday morning after Fajr, tafsir, and the like. Why? Why I'm coming here? Not just to listen to the Imam or to the person who's conducting the class and we go home. No, we pay attention. We make the most of that hour or that 50 minutes. By both the heart, the soul, and the body is here. If just the body in the class but the heart is somewhere else, there's no benefit. No, but that's why Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, subhanAllah, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he used to look at the students. And if he sees somebody like he's spaced out, like he's daydreaming, like they say, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he will ask him, Ya Akhi, what did he say right now? Of course, me, I cannot say that. I can't do that, and I'm not planning to do it because I don't want to offend anybody. Because for the simple fact, as I say that many times, I'm energetic right now because I'm talking. And many people are looking at me. I can't afford to just go to sleep now, spaced out. If I do that, I'll be talking about something else. But if I'm there in your spot, it may happen to me. And it did before. We're human. We be honest. We sit there, and before you know it, we're thinking about something else. The brother is reading, Qala Shaykh Rabi, Hafidhahullah, with bills. How gonna do the bills tomorrow? Oil change. But we come back to the class, but now we have to say always, what I'm here for? I'm here to get some... And that's what makes the difference. That's why you find in the circles of the...